Here we are again, ladies and gentlemen. This July 19th, 2008 edition of the Liberty Hour. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of your hosts, Mark Glenn, Cub reporter with American Free Press newspaper. And along with me is my very good friend and brother-in-arms, Phil Turney, survivor of the USS Liberty. Phil, why don't you say hello to everybody?
Good morning, Mark. Good morning to our listening audience. Thanks for hanging in there with us again this Saturday morning, and we're going to have a great show.
Yeah, why don't you give the folks a lineup of who we have set up for today's show, Phil?
Well, it'd be my pleasure. We have a former congressman, John Hostetler, and he was in Congress for approximately 12 years, and I think he was unseated in 2007, from 95 to 2007. And it's going to be an interesting 2 hours with him, and we're possibly going to have another congressman call in, Pete McCluskey, former congressman from California, Marine veteran, Marine hero, and a great, great guy, and a good lawyer, and a good friend of the Liberty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our apologies to the folks. You know, Phil and I usually will let people know ahead of time who our guest is going to be for that week. But as the listeners to this program know, ladies and gentlemen, we have developed something of a problem with some of the survivors of the Liberty contacting guests that have agreed to appear on the program when Phil and I have announced that they were going to appear. Some of the guests have been contacted by a few troublemakers within the LVA and scared away from appearing on our program. So, unfortunately, this is how we're going to have to do things for a while, which is basically to just spring the good news on you as far as who the guest is for the day, because we have to deal with the reality that there are people who are deliberately trying to undermine what we're trying to do. So having said that, we are going to have former Congressman Hostetler on today. Now, the reason why he is so important to this discussion, ladies and gentlemen, is because he has written a new book. Now, I will confess that I have not yet read the book, but the thesis of it seems extremely interesting, and it's entitled Nothing for the Nation. And basically what I have been able to surmise from what former Congressman Hostetler has told me is that the thesis of this book is all of these things that we were told, we the American people were told, in the run-up to the war against Iraq, concerning weapons of mass destruction and all the rest of the stuff, that this was all a lie. And that the real reason for us going to war in Iraq was for the benefit of another country in the region, and we don't need to spend a lot of time guessing which country that is. So anyway, Congressman Hostetler is going to be on with us, and hopefully, as Phil indicated, we're also going to be joined later in the first hour by California. Is he from California, Phil? Congressman
Yes, California.
Yeah, who has been a staunch supporter of the Liberty for a long, long time. And so certainly he's going to have some interesting things to say if indeed we are blessed with his presence this morning. So anyway, obviously a lot in the news this week, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, we have the news coming out of Washington that we, meaning the United States, is contemplating setting up an embassy in Tehran. Now, keep in mind, we have not had diplomatic relations with Iran since around 1980. Okay, so that's 28 years. And then all of a sudden now, our government that has been beating the drums of war against Iran literally since 9/11, all of a sudden now, we're ready to start talking with Iran while we are literally poised with our finger on the trigger. We're going to be talking about that when we get back. In the meantime, listen to these important messages from our supporters. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse? A world economic collapse could come any day. Question: are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question: do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Answer. Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our Doomsday Water Filter System. Without water, you die. It's all online at survivalistseeds.com. Are you prepared? That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order.
Do you ever forget why you walked into a room or where you put the car keys? Do you feel like you might be slowing down mentally? That could be a sign that the brain is aging. Our brains control nearly every function of our body, including our ability to learn, remember, and concentrate. Sadly, as we age, our brain cells begin to die off. We may lose 30 to 50,000 a day. In youth, brain cells are protected by special proteins, but these proteins become depleted as we age. University scientists in Wisconsin found a unique calcium-binding protein in jellyfish that can protect brain cells. Prevagen is the only all-natural replacement source for these proteins. Studies show that Prevagen can reduce brain cell loss by up to an astounding 50%. Side effects? The only kind reported are the ones you want, like a healthier brain, a sharper mind, and clearer thinking. Find out more by visiting our website at Prevagen.com. You can also purchase Prevagen by calling 888-814-0814. That's Prevagen.com or 888-814-0814. Call today for a special offer from Prevagen.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the first hour of the Liberty Hour. It's approximately about 7 minutes or 8 minutes after 9 o'clock here, Mountain Standard Time. It's a beautiful day here in Colorado, and first I would like to start off by thanking RBN and Mr. Stat Miller for having us on the air. We certainly appreciate it very much. Mark and I do, as I know the rest of the listening audience does, and other crewmates that listen to this show, and we thank them again very much for this opportunity and give us a chance to talk about the USS Liberty and other like-minded subjects. But this show was dedicated and came online to honor the 34 men that were slaughtered June the 8th, 1967, by a foreign government, being by the name of Israel, using unmarked jet aircraft and coming at us with torpedo boats, firing 5 torpedoes at us, one hitting the starboard side, instantly killing 25 of America's finest young men. They also wounded 174 others. This attack went on for approximately almost 2 hours. They used this as target practice, shooting our stretcher bearers, firefighters, anybody or anything that moved. They also, when we thought we were going to sink, they shot our only we put over 3 life rafts. They shot 2 of them out of the water and then took one aboard their boat, I assume as a trophy to their kill, which is a war crime. It's against the Geneva Conventions, and we've already went through this with the State Department and other people trying to get these war crimes on the table and get before Congress, but it looks like it was stopped at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. For what reason, I don't know, other than to keep the cover-up going, which has been going on for the last 41 years. Now, as I always say, I speak for myself. I don't speak for any other survivor. I don't speak for the Board of Directors of the Liberty Veterans Association. I do not speak for LVA. I speak for myself, myself only. Now, we do have like-minded survivors that enjoy this show, love this show, and support it. I don't need to tell you their names, but they're always here with us in spirit, in mind, and heart. Now, I also wanted to mention which this show is so full of is the truth. Now, the truth is what is going to set us free. They cannot fight the truth. The other side, I'm talking the Israelis with their old lies and their murderous attack on my shipmates and me and my friends. We're not going to let this slide. We're not going to let this go down. It's been 41 years, but it's been 41 minutes for me. I live it every day, and I'm mad, and I'm going to stay mad till they get this on the table and we get it to a court or get in front of Congress or whatever we can do, because the survivors that support us are not going to let these men die in vain. There's just no way. As I said before, the truth is on our side, and we got a $10,000 reward up for anybody that can come on this show, AIPAC, ADL, anybody that's interested in coming on the show and calling us liars. We would love to have you come on the show and defend your position. As yet, we have not had any callers come in to take us up on that $10,000 reward. Now, Mark, with that being said, I would like to get a few comments from you of how our show's been going for the past 4.5-5 months, and how our listeners are receptive to our show and what they think about our show. Would you please do that?
Sure, absolutely. First of all, as you said, thanks to John Spatmiller for giving us this spot every week. As I said before, I'm sure that John probably catches a lot of hell for letting us have this spot. We know that they're very powerful interest groups that would love nothing more than to see this program shut down and to see this message cease to exist. So that's number one. Number two, Phil, as of right now, all of the numbers are looking very good as far as the radio program. We went from having about 500 listeners a week to about 10,000 listeners a day, and those are the numbers of downloads, people going back and listening to the archived radio program. So 10,000 people a day, 7 days a week is, well, that's not too shabby. So obviously, you know, this thing is a group effort, not just you and I and the good folks at RVN, but the listeners out there as well. The real Americans who care about what is happening to their country, who want to know what is going on and what can be done to pull our country out of the abyss. And, of course, we cannot exclude from this the brave members of our elected assemblies around the country, whether it's at the federal or at the state level, or even at the municipal level, who are willing to buck the system and to swim against the stream and to speak out. And one of those persons we are lucky to have with us today, and it is the former congressman from Indiana named John Hostetler. Congressman, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Mark.
Thank you very much for coming on. It is a great honor for Phil and me to have you on the program today. Why don't you start off, first of all, by telling people how they can get in contact with you and how they can get hold of your new book.
Well, I appreciate it, Mark. I have recently published a book called Nothing for the Nation, Who Got What Out of Iraq. The book can be acquired at nothingforthenation.com. It's a website I've established for sales of the book. I began my own publishing company, which I refer to as Publius House. Mm-hmm. Publius comes from the pseudonym that the Federalist paper writers used mm-hmm. in encouraging the citizens of the state of New York to ratify the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Madison, Hamilton, and Jay used that pseudonym when writing essentially opinion editorials to the citizens of the state of New York. And Publius House is publishing Nothing for the Nation, Who Got What Out of Iraq. And it began as a project that was going to be much larger. As you mentioned, I am the former congressman. I was defeated for a seventh term in November of 2006. And I started to write a book about a vast array of issues and with a conservative perspective on those issues to encourage, if you will, conservatives after the dismal drumming that it seemed that conservatism took in the November 2006 elections. And the reason that I started on a much larger project is I wanted folks to realize that it wasn't conservative principles that lost in 2006. It was an administration and a party, quite honestly, the Republican Party, that had all but abandoned conservative principles in a desire to obtain and maintain power. And one of those issues that I began to write on was the Iraq War. From a perspective that the Iraq War is not a conservative, does not have conservative foundation to it. It is not a conservative military foray. It is a foray for essentially two other purposes, and as a result of abandoning conservative principles, we went into Iraq, and we are still bogged down in Iraq, so that was the purpose for the book. After I started writing that, what was going to be a chapter of the book, my wife and my oldest son, in their review of my work, said, you know, essentially, this can't be a chapter in a book. It has to be a book all by itself because the issue is so important and it might be lost in a much larger context of a wide variety of issues. So the book is Nothing for the Nation, Who Got What Out of Iraq, and it is available at nothingforthenation.com.
Well, Congressman, first of all, what you just said has sparked off a number of very important thoughts in my mind, as far as I'm concerned, this issue of conservatism. Now, you know, you hear a lot of people today talking about this being a conservative war because George Bush is a Republican and, you know, he has this Republican administration. But you are exactly right. Excuse me. This is not a conservative war. I cringe whenever I hear people talk about George Bush and basically the Republican Party in general. And, of course, now who appears to be, you know, the most logical selection for the Republican nomination for this year's election, John McCain. There's nothing conservative about it. The business of invading countries that have not threatened or attacked the United States is not a conservative principle whatsoever, as far as I'm concerned. And this is coming from a true conservative, and of course my better half at the other end of this line here, Phil Turney, survivor of the USS Liberty, himself is a conservative. Most of the listeners to this program are conservatives, and yet we all oppose this war. And of course, we're not one lone voice out there. We have other conservatives as well, such as Ron Paul, such as Pat Buchanan. There are a number of conservatives who have seen the organic flaw in this argument that this is a conservative war and all of the rest of it. So that's number one that I would like to point out, that you are correct in that. That people should not make the mistake of associating conservative principles with this war in Iraq. Now, number two, what I would remind the listeners out there, particularly the more cynical ones who are saying, oh, well, this Hochstetler guy, he got booted out of office, and so now he's doing what so many other politicians will do after they've left office. He will try to make a name for himself and sell some books by taking a contrary point of view to what's going on. But I would remind people that as early as 2002, before we invaded Iraq, you stood on the floor of the House of Representatives and entered into the record a speech that you wrote. And I will quote I'll quote it after the break. Everybody stay tuned. My punchline, I was just seconds away from it, and now we're being preempted with commercials. Everybody stay tuned. We will be back in 3 minutes. We'll be right back.
Each client
has a unique situation.
Each client is first and foremost
an individual.
Each client with Onesti Investment Advisors has a different set of goals,
time frames,
risk tolerance,
and needs.
But the philosophy at Onesti Investment Advisors always remains the same.
1.
The preservation of capital.
2.
Consistent profitability. And
3.
The pursuit of superior returns.
In that order.
CFP certificate, John Onesti has over 14 years in the financial services industry and understands the complexities of today's markets. At Onesti Investment Advisors, we have no conflicts of interest, so we look out for you, our client. The better you do,
the better we do.
To learn more about our products and services, call Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Visit us online at onestiadvisors.com or
click on our banner ad on the RBN website.
Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat. And it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, for this July the 19th, 2008 edition of the Liberty Hour. I am Mark Glenn, cub reporter with American Free Press newspaper, along with my very good friend Phil Turney. As far as I'm concerned, war hero and survivor of the attack on USS Liberty. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest, and it is the Honorable John Hofstetler, former congressman from the state of Indiana, six-term congressman, who has recently written a book. I wish I could say that I had gotten my hot little hands on it ahead of time, but having perused the thesis of the thing, namely that this was an unnecessary war that the United States launched against Iraq, and that, as the title implies, nothing for America. We have gained nothing by this war except a huge debt, 4,000 dead young men and women, not to mention nothing of the tens of thousands who have been wounded. And just, you know, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, 4,000 dead may not sound like a lot, but when you start calculating in the extended family of that, 4,000 men, how many people associated with each of those deaths in terms of his mother, his father, his wife, children, the number reaches much higher than simply 4,000. Now, as I said, we have with us as a guest Congressman Hofstetler. You can reach him or get hold of his book by going to where, Congressman?
You can go to nothingforthenation.com.
Nothingforthenation.com, okay.
And on that, on that site. You can also contact me via email, and there's an address, as well as you can get a hold of me. Some people don't necessarily like to go through the online purchasing process, so we have an address that information can be acquired. It also has the text of my floor speech that you were mentioning earlier, that I gave prior to the vote to authorize the president to strike, to invade Iraq, which I voted against. Mm-hmm. And so it has a variety of information there.
Okay, and I, on that note, Congressman, I would like to read a couple of passages from this floor speech, just so that the listeners today will understand that you are not trying to cash in on an opportunity to sell some books. You know, we have people like Scott McClellan and others, once they, you know, left the gang, they decided to publish a book saying, oh, this was a horrible thing, blah, blah, blah. You know, in an attempt, first of all, to exculpate themselves from any involvement in this disaster. And secondly, of course, there is a monetary factor. They'd like to sell some books. But I'd like to let the people know out there that this was something that you held fast to while you were a sitting congressman. And I can only imagine the pressures that were brought to bear against you for standing up for your principles in such a way. And we'll get into that after I read a few quotes from your speech here. You say, Mr. Speaker, voting for this resolution not only would set an ominous precedent for using the administration's parameters in justifying war against the remaining partners in the axis of evil, quote-unquote, but such a vote for preemption would also set a standard which the rest of the world would seek to hold America and which the rest of the world could justifiably follow. War should be waged by necessity, and I do not believe that such necessity is at hand at this time. For these reasons, Mr. Speaker, I urge my colleagues to please vote no on the resolution to approve force at this time. So those of you out there who may be thinking cynically to yourselves that this is a man who suddenly found a conscience after he got booted out of office, do not make the mistake of thinking that this is what he said prior to the vote, and obviously he has paid for it in terms of not being elected. Now, having said that, Congressman, let's go into a little bit about what I mentioned before, which are these, which must have been these very powerful forces that were arrayed against you for maintaining such an unpopular decision. Now, when you started speaking out against going to war against Iraq, and of course, your vote against it, what, you know, who came knocking on your door and saying, look, Congressman, you can't do this, and this is what we're going to do to you if you go through with it?
Well, Mark, to be honest with you, because the vote was so overwhelmingly in favor, there was, I believe the final number in the House was 296, which was more than two-thirds necessary to... I mean, it was more than two-thirds. When you go to the Senate, it was almost three-fourths, I think. So in both cases, theoretically speaking, just in reviewing the Constitution, there was a veto-proof majority in both houses. And so even if, for some reason, which we know is not the case, even if the President of the United States would have opposed this resolution, there was enough support in the Congress to overturn a veto of a president that might have been averse to invading Iraq. And so now we know that that is not the case, and that it was George Bush and the administration that was actually pushing it. But we have to understand the context that, you know, and I mentioned this in my book, this is no more George Bush's war than it is Hillary Clinton's war, or John Kerry's war, or Tom Daschle's war. Any of those people and a collection of Democrat senators could have opposed this, and because the Democrats had control of the Senate at that time, if you'll remember, the Democrats could have stopped this from taking place. They didn't.
Congressman, I hate to interrupt. We're going to a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Everybody stay tuned. Hold that thought, Congressman.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Do you ever forget names or where you left your glasses? Christine also realized she didn't remember like she used to.
I'm forgetting where things are occasionally, or I go into a room and I'm wondering, now, why am I here?
She often forgot and misplaced things like her keys.
I would spend so much time looking for things like that, and I just would assume that that was just a part of aging.
Then she discovered Prevagen. Special proteins in our brain responsible for keeping cells alive that control learning and memory are depleted with age. Now there's a new option to replace these proteins, Prevagen. If your ability to remember is fading with time, try all natural Prevagen, PrevaGen.com. That's Prevagen.com.
And I find that in my business, I'm able to focus on the tasks at hand.
To find out how to get a free bottle of Prevagen, call 888-814-0814.
And so I'm not as forgetful, and it's really helping me that way.
Call 888-814-0814.
Hi, I'm Ayala Jags. I'm in business just like you. I spend a lot of time on my cell phone, and I'm very concerned about the potential dangers of cell phone radiation, and you should be too. I found dozens of studies from around the world linking cell phone use to everything from skin conditions to brain tumors. It's shocking, it's scary. Numerous products claim to block cell phone radiation, but do they really? Then I found the Wave Shield. It's the only shielding device that has survived rigorous testing in an FTC-listed lab and is proven to block up to 97% of cell phone radiation from entering your sensitive inner ear. The Wave Shield is easy to apply, it fits almost every phone, and it really, really works. Don't take chances. Protect yourself, protect your family. The Wave Shield is only $19.95. Take just a moment. Call and order your Wave Shield right now. The evidence is growing. Why take a chance? Protect everyone you love. Call now.
866-989-9147.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go on the second half hour of the Liberty Hour, the first hour of a two-hour show. And Congressman, my name is Phil Turney. I haven't had a chance to talk to you, but I wanted to thank you very much for coming on the show. And I certainly appreciate it, along with Mark, your service to our country. It means a lot to us to have people like you standing up for us in the United States Congress. And hopefully you can get back in there. And Congressman, if you'd like to finish your thoughts, and then I'd like to quiz you on a few things after you get done, if you don't mind.
That'd be great, Phil. That'd be fine. Well, as I mentioned, there wasn't a lot of attention, to be honest, that I can recall to folks like me who were in a very small minority of people that opposed the war in Congress. I mean, almost two-thirds in the House, almost three-fourths in the Senate. The wheels were greased. There was overwhelming support. According to a Pew Research study in mid-September, 64% of Americans approved of removing Saddam Hussein militarily from power. And so the vast weight of popular support, congressional support, was there. And so there wasn't a lot of blowback, you might say, to me, from Washington as much as there was from home, because as a Republican, I had gone against the leader of my party, as someone who was on the Armed Services Committee, I had gone against the notion of invading a foreign country that many felt were complicit in 9/11, and who many felt was a previous antagonist of the United States. And so, you have to recall that we were just a little over a year away from September 11, 2001. A lot of people were still very concerned. The economy had not fully recovered. And so there was this notion of going into the Middle East and just, you know, wiping out every possible, current and future antagonist of the United States. And so there was a lot of pressure from back home before and after and concern after the vote. To get probably to your point earlier, my voting record prior to this vote in 2002 was one where I did not support foreign aid bills because the Constitution doesn't allow for that. And so there were people that were upset with me in Washington, various constituencies, various interest groups that did not like my voting against foreign aid appropriations bills. I voted against the Iraq Liberation Act of 1998 because I didn't think that the United States should be imposing its will on a foreign country for the purpose of liberating its own country. I mean, if you look at the 1998 Act, it is a precursor to the invasion of 2003. First, we said we're going to do everything that we can to cause this change internally, and that didn't work out. Ahmed Shalabi and others had not gained the popular support within the country, and so 2002 rolls around and Congress passes this resolution, and then we invade the country. And so there were folks in Washington, D.C., interest groups that were not happy with me long before October of 2002. And so I'm sure they felt that I was a lost cause, and so after the vote, I didn't get a lot of attention in that way directly as a result of my vote, either in Washington, nearly not so much in Washington because of the overwhelming support there, and then back home is where I really received a lot of adverse attention as a result of my vote.
Okay, I see, Congressman. You explained that very well, and it's very easy for anybody listening to understand what you went through. My question to you, sir, is that when the vote was going on, were you ever approached by any foreign country, any lobbyist group such as AIPAC, ADL, or anybody like that to reconsider your vote or to be pressured to vote another way? And also, who is the real benefactor in this war that we're in now with Iran and possibly going into Iraq and possibly going into Iran? Who would be the benefactor of such a debacle?
Well, Phil, without giving too much of my book away, I can tell you that the title of my book comes from a quote by John Jay in Federalist Paper number 4. As I mentioned earlier, my publishing company, Publius House, got its name from the pseudonym that the Federalist Paper writers used. In Federalist Paper number 4, Jay wrote, who was the original Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court after the formation of the United States government under the Constitution, he said this, quote, "Absolute monarchs will often make war when their nations are to get nothing by it. But for purposes and objects merely personal, such as revenge for personal affronts or private compacts to aggrandize or support partisans." Those are the two premises of my book. This war was fought for revenge of a personal affront, namely the assassination attempt on George H.W. Bush in April of 1993 by the Iraqi intelligence service, and to aggrandize or support the ideals of partisans. And that is as a result of the placement of folks like Paul Wolfowitz as Deputy Secretary of Defense, Doug Feith as the number two Undersecretary for Policy, in the Pentagon, David Wormser over the Office of Special Plans, and then after him, Abram Scholsky. Because of those folks put in that place, the second part of Jay's quote was made valid and applied to this, and that was a private compact to aggrandize or support the ideals of partisans, and that was these folks had a long-standing, very well-published desire to remove Saddam Hussein from power. The 1996 Securing the Realm paper, that was a discussion paper that included Doug Feith and David Wormser as participants. The open letter to President Bill Clinton in 1998 that was signed by Wolfowitz, Paul Wolfowitz, Doug Feith, Dave Wormser, and a host of other people, including Donald Rumsfeld, but especially those three. And then Wormser's book on removing Saddam Hussein from power in the 90s, decrying the fact that 41 George H.W. Bush had allowed him to stay in power. Those are the motivations. And in my book, I give my rationale and I give the proof behind that intelligence. And the basis of the book is basically this. I, as a member of Congress who sat on the House Armed Services Committee for 12 years, I saw the intelligence that was used to support the allegation of program and weapons of mass destruction. That was a very weak case, very weak case. And so it was my desire to see if there was intelligence available that would tell me the true motivations, and there was. And that case, which I outline in my book, is much more compelling than the case for weapons of mass destruction. And those are the two reasons, and my book goes over that, and the two reasons that we actually went to war in Iraq.
Okay.
Go ahead, Phil.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to say, yeah, I don't want you to give your book away either. I just got to get it. I can't wait to read it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to ask you, since you were a congressman and you were on that committee, had you ever heard about the USS Liberty and the attack on our ship by the government of Israel in a sneak attack June 8, 1967, and the cover-up that's still going on today by the government of Israel, the government of the United States? And why has Congress been so reluctant to address this issue if it's so cut and dry as a mistaken identity? Us survivors have been trying to get Congress to do something, to say something, to get some backbone. And I wonder, did you know about the Liberty? Have you ever heard about it? Did you research it or anything of that nature?
Yes, I actually knew of the Liberty somewhat before I even ran for Congress in 1994. And then as I went through Congress, it was, Phil, unfortunately considered an issue, and I cringe to say this as a member of the majority party who sat on the majority of the Armed Services Committee. It was an issue that was considered by many in leadership to be a closed issue that had been investigated since 1967 on multiple occasions by multiple agencies and had for the purposes of folks who were in authority at the time that I was a member of Congress, a closed issue. That's unfortunate because a former staff member recently led me to information, I guess, that was reported in the Baltimore Sun about some new information that's come to bear that I'm sure that you knew about prior, but that was not popularly known about some of the people that were close to the incident that were in the administration that knew that something had been covered up that were there on the ground, so to speak, in the Middle East and back in Washington, and so I don't think at this point that the issue is at least closed in the public, but unfortunately, as a result of what you know to be the truth in the halls of Congress, there are interest groups that do not want that do not want that information that has even been revealed in the last 18 months to be the subject of public hearing in Congress. And so I apologize for the Republican majority for 12 years, and I think that for the same reason, even with a Democrat majority, there will not be much done on the issue as well, I'm sorry to say.
I could break in here for just a second. I hear exactly what you're saying, Congressman. I mean, let's face it. You know, I stumbled across the Liberty Incident really by accident in many, many ways. This is something that has been bottled up so tight that, and really, unless you are looking for it, you're not going to find it. So I will say that for the benefit, for your benefit, and I'm sure Phil probably would agree with me on this. Going back to what you were saying about the quote-unquote neocons, and again, I cringe whenever I hear that because there's nothing conservative about these guys. Anybody who has done just a little bit of research into them will know that these guys are all former Trotskyites, and by definition that makes them hardcore left. There's nothing conservative about them. You know, the names you listed, Wolfowitz, Feith, Wormser, a lot of these guys, going back to this foreign interest, special interest group, a lot of these guys were investigated by the FBI, by the Justice Department, for espionage on behalf of Israel. Now, you cited the Securing the Realm document that was written in 1996, and again, we don't want to give out too much of your book ahead of time, but basically what I am hearing between the lines here, Congressman, is that what you're saying is that the reason that we went to war against Iraq was for the benefit of a foreign country in the Middle East, namely Israel. Is that correct?
Well, it was the motivation for the people that were placed in positions that were responsible for the analysis of the intelligence. And let's just go to current issues today to bolster my point about the first reason that we went there with regard to George W. Bush's father. Today we see something that, quite honestly, Israel is not very happy about, namely the announcement of a high-ranking diplomat taking part in Iran with the United Nations in discussion with the Iranians about things including their nuclear industry and their nuclear ambitions. That is not something that while Israel is going through war games and Iran is test firing its Shahab 3 missiles, that is not something that the Israel lobby is heartened by, is encouraged by. Mm-hmm. Secondly, if you'll recall, during the Iraq war, in the early phases, when we were not finding WMD, there was this discussion about the WMD being delivered to Syria or someone else. I think Syria was chosen as a likely recipient of WMD, even though the WMD didn't exist. But it was a great story that could have given President Bush the impetus to invade Syria, mm-hmm. being right next door to it. But mm-hmm. we opted not to do that, and I think that was the right thing to do, obviously, even though the very big wrong thing, Iraq, was still going on. So they were placed there because they had to deal with intelligence that was not very good regarding WMD. So there were people that were put in place that had sympathy with removing Saddam Hussein from power. Now, not sympathy with regard to Iran as such, to the extent of Saddam Hussein, and not sympathy with invading Syria, even though those people are now talking about Iran and Syria. But our government, our president, our administration is not going there. And it's because, in my opinion, that you had this one overarching issue with George W. Bush, and that was Saddam Hussein. that it was not there with that same desire for revenge, as John Jay says, was not there for the leader of Iran. It was not there for the leader of Syria. And so we see today this same administration who saw the least likely to damage or harm our national security, who saw Iraq as being the most logical first choice, is now sending high-level diplomats to Iran, is not invading Syria. And so,
Congressman, I'm sorry to interrupt again. We have to go to break. Is there any chance of us having you on for the next hour? Because we've got a lot of people who want to talk to you.
Sure, that'd be fine.
Okay, everybody stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes to continue this fascinating discussion with former Congressman John Hostetler. Everybody stay tuned.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Would you trade your freedom for a fresh tomato? Before you laugh, just look at the news headlines. The world food shortage is real and is happening right now. Are you prepared? Do you have a long-term food solution? Time is running out. Visit survivalistseeds.com. Learn how you can have healthy food for just 4 pennies a pound. The choice between abundance and starvation is made today, not when it's too late. Order from survivalistseeds.com today and get a free instructional video on how to make a portable water filter. That's survivalistseeds.com. Get 5,000 pounds of fresh food for 4 pennies a pound. Learn how to never run out of food at survivalistseeds.com. That's survivalistseeds.com. Remember, your lack of action today will determine your suffering after the collapse. Survivalistseeds.com. Because patriots never run out of food.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, concluding the first hour of today's two-hour show. We are honored to have with us today as a special guest former Indiana Congressman John Hostetler, who has just written a book, which I cannot wait to get my hands on, by the way. It's entitled Nothing for the Nation. Basically, he is arguing here that this fiasco in Iraq, that we got nothing from it. And by the way, Congressman, as a former American history major, I want to express my true appreciation for the fact that you actually, as a congressman, understand first of all, who Publius was, that it was a pen name that the three main Federalist proponents, John J. Hamilton, and who was the other?
James Madison.
That's right, James Madison. That the three main proponents for ratification of the Constitution used, number one, and number two, the fact that you recognize that foreign aid is an unconstitutional thing, that there is no basis, no legal basis for the federal government to be giving away billions of dollars, tax dollars away to a foreign government. So that's what I would like to say. And I also, like I said, ladies and gentlemen, I would encourage you to get hold of this book. It's good to have somebody from the inside saying the kinds of things. Now, right before the break, Congressman, you were in the middle of an important thought, so I'd like you to continue that, if you would.
Well, what I was saying was that that the placement of folks like Paul Wolfowitz, Doug Feith, David Wormser, Abram Shulsky, and others in the Office of Special Plans, in the Pentagon, was important in that these individuals were like-minded with the commander-in-chief, with the president, on the removal of particularly, specifically, especially Saddam Hussein from power. In that paper, Securing the Realm, there was one world leader that was mentioned. Many countries were mentioned, but one leader in particular. And that was Saddam Hussein. In the open letter to President Bill Clinton, signed by more than 30 public figures, the open letter was for removal of Saddam Hussein from power. The Iraq Liberation Act that followed on that was passed in Congress, signed into law by Bill Clinton, was for the removal of Saddam Hussein from power. Saddam Hussein, who had in April of 1993 directed Iraqi intelligence service to assassinate George H.W. Bush while he was visiting Kuwait. And so it's important to understand, and since that time, Wolfowitz has left, Feith has left, Wormser has left the Pentagon, at least. These folks have left. Richard Perle testified before the Armed Services Committee. I was sitting in the room. He's testifying before us. They said, we should have gotten out of Iraq after Baghdad fell. And we need to understand that the people involved in this wanted one thing, the removal of Saddam Hussein from power. And they were all put in places, whether they're the President of the United States, Commander-in-Chief, or the underlings in the Pentagon. They were all there, and they were all able to lead and direct in that action.
Okay, Congressman, on that thought, I'd ask you to just hold on again. Boy, these breaks seem to be coming quickly. Everybody out there waiting on the line to get through, we're going to bring you up right after the break, top of the hour. So everyone just stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Gold has been.